All right, we're going to be in John chapter 6. John chapter 6. If you're one of those people that always wondered, what does the Bible say in the 6th chapter of John in the 66th verse? You're going to learn that today. John chapter 6, looking at verses 66 through 69. John chapter 6, verses 66 through 69. The title of the sermon is, Who Do You Say I Am? Who do you say I am? From the time many of the disciples went back and walked no more with him, then said Jesus unto the 12, Will you also go away? Then Simon Peter answered him and said, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life, and we believe and are sure that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Let's bow our heads and go to Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we believe you are the Son of the living God. Lord, we thank you, Jesus, for all that you've done for us, Lord. God, we've had an amazing week, Lord. We've had one person graduate from earth to heaven, Lord, and we just give you praise for that, Lord, for no more suffering or pain, Lord. God, we thank you. Lord, we thank you, God, for the Thanksgivings that we've had and been able to celebrate with our families and our friends. Lord, we thank you, God, for the life that you give us today, Lord, to just be able to be in your house, to be able to worship you. And Lord, we also thank you for the amazing weather, Lord. We've had days in the high 60s and in the 70s. Just amazing for Kansas during Thanksgiving, Lord. Thank you, God, for all these things, Lord. Now, I know, Lord, that there are people that have things on their hearts today, Lord, have troubles on their hearts. And God, I just pray that whatever troubles they have, Lord, will be lifted, Lord, as they just hear this message today. Thank you, Jesus, for everything you do. But thank you most for dying on the cross for our sins, Lord. Without that, none of us would be able to get into heaven. And so, Lord, we just thank you for eternal life today. For it's in your name we pray, Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. So we mention the name Jesus a lot. We talk about the word Jesus. We spell it. We do all kinds of great things. People say there's even power in the name of Jesus. I remember I was out visiting Faith, and she just graduated from basic training, and I had the opportunity to talk with her chaplain. And boy, she was excited. She introduced me to his chaplain, and I was excited to talk to him. And so after he had gave me his name and I had shared my name with him, I said, well, tell me about how you got saved. And he just looked at me like. And I said, well, tell me when you met Jesus. And he said, well, we really can't mention that name. I said, so what is it exactly that you do? He said, well, we have to represent all religions. We have to represent Hinduism and Buddhism and Christianity and all these different things. I said, okay, that's great. So tell me when you accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Said, I really can't talk about that. You know, there is power in the name of Jesus. Amen. So much power that this man had fear in his heart just to say the name Jesus. But when we have a United States military where a chaplain doesn't even have to be a Christian, I question what is going on in the United States of America that I live in. I served in the military. I'm a proud veteran. And you know what? My chaplain was a Christian. He loved the Lord and he lived for the Lord. And not only that, but he helped us using scripture and leading us. And so I wonder, where do we live when we can't mention the name Jesus? Because there is power in the name of Jesus. As we hear here in this scripture, Peter says, I know who Jesus is. You are the Christ. You are the Son of God. And so I ask you today, if someone was to come up to you and ask you, what does the name Jesus mean to you? What would you say? Would you look at him and say, when I think of Jesus, I think of King of Kings. I think of Lord of Lords. I think of our Creator. I think of the only source of good that we have in the entire world. I mean, what would you tell them? And so what was asked here in our scripture today is that Peter, he said, well, who do you think I am? And Peter said, well, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And so as we look in this scripture today, as we look in John chapter 5 and chapter 4, you're going to see all kinds of miracles are taking place. And people love miracles. People love big tricks. They love different things, things that grab their attention. And boy, Jesus was full of them. He was doing all kinds of miracles. He healed this man who was sick, who was a paralytic for 38 years. He healed him. And boy, so the people were excited. After they saw that, more and more people kind of started coming along. Then you get over into chapter 6 and you see where he feeds people with 5 loaves and 2 fish. And then there's even more and more crowds. It says there was over 5,000 men, not even numbering the women and children. And after that, there was such a great miracle that he sent the disciples. He said, hey, will you go pick up the rest of the crumbs and the leftovers? And so he did. And when those 12 disciples came back, they had 12 baskets full of things. I mean, Jesus was doing all kinds of miracles. But he wasn't done with just that. But then it was time for him to go across. To go across the water, to go across the lake. And so he sent the disciples. There was kind of a bad storm, and then Jesus walked on the water. And so you can imagine how many crowds were filled, how many people wanted to see what is the next thing that this Jesus guy is going to do. And so the crowds, they went to sleep, and then they found out, they woke up, they said, well, where's the disciples? Where's Jesus? We can't find him anywhere. So they took boats and they went across the sea. And then they ran upon Jesus and his disciples and they wanted to see something else. So they asked him, well, what are you going to do next? And what they expected was that Jesus was going to do another miracle. But instead what he did was he preached a message. He taught a message. Listen. If you have your Bibles, you can look back with me too at John chapter 6, starting with verse 26. Look at the things that took place here. Jesus talked to these people. He said, I tell you the truth, that you want to be with me because I fed you. Not because you understood the miraculous signs that I performed. But don't be so concerned about perishable things like food. Spend your energy seeking the eternal life that the Son of Man can give you. For God the Father has given me his seal of approval. Then they replied, we want to perform God's works too. What should we do? Jesus told them, this is the only work that God wants from you. Believe in the one that he has sent. They answered, well, show us a miraculous sign if you want us to believe in you. I mean, what can you do? Now keep in mind, these people already saw the man healed. They already been fed with this 5 loaves and 2 fish. And here they are wanting more. And so after that, he says, after all, our ancestors ate manna while they journeyed through the wilderness. The scriptures say that Moses gave them bread from heaven to eat. Jesus said, I tell you the truth, Moses didn't give you bread from heaven. My Father did. And now he offers you the true bread from heaven. The true bread of God is the one who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. Verse 34, it says, sir, they say to you, give us that bread every day. Jesus replied, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry again. Whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. But you haven't believed in me, even though you've seen me. However, those the Father has given me will come to me, and I will never reject them. For I have come down from heaven to do the will of God who sent me, not to do my own will. And this is the will of God, that I should not lose even one of those who he has given me, but that I should raise them all up at the last day. For it is my Father's will that all who sees his Son and believe in him should have eternal life. I will raise them up at the last day. And so they came over. They said, we want to see another miracle. Show us another great trick. Show us something exciting. Give us a reason to believe in you. They didn't care about all the great things he just did the night before. No, all they wanted to see were more tricks. They didn't want a savior. They didn't want a Lord. They wanted an entertainer and a magician. But Jesus just wasn't those things. Jesus came to give us love and to show us the pathway of eternal life. And so that's the message that Jesus has given these guys here. And you know what happened is, once they found out that they weren't going to get any more, and that Jesus was saying, well, you need to give yourself to me. You need to come to me. You need to accept me. They said, oh, this is complicated. We don't understand that. We don't want any part of this. And you know what? Instead of following him, they turned away and they had left. And all that was left was the 12 disciples and maybe a few more people. And you know what? It's kind of the same in our world today. Let a pastor get up and preach about the free grace of God. Let a pastor get up and preach about the miracles of the Lord. Let a pastor get up and preach and share about all the great attributes you get from being a Christian, like the forgiveness of sin, like mercy, like help, like completeness or unconditional love that the Lord gives you. Let a pastor get up and talk about the peace that transcends all understanding. Or let a pastor come and tell you about how great and glorious it's going to be about heaven. And you know what? The people will say, that's a good preacher. You need to follow him. That is a man of God. But let a pastor get up and call upon his people to forsake the world and to follow Jesus. Let a pastor get up and say, you need to turn from your sin and repent and come to the Lord. Let a pastor tell you, you got to change your lives and stop living for yourself and being selfish and start living for the one who created you. And then you know what the people do? They walk away and leave just like the others. You see, Jesus wasn't here to tickle people's ears. He wasn't here to put a smile on your face. He was here to tell you that he loved you, to show you that he loved you, and to die on the cross to forgive you of your sins. He wants you to change your life. He doesn't want to pat you on the back. He wants to tell you that he loves you and you can be better than you are today. Those people didn't want to hear that. Those people didn't want to hear that there is a cost to follow Christ. In Galatians 5:24, the Bible says, those who belong to Christ Jesus have nailed their passions and their desires of their sinful nature to his cross and crucified him there. That means all those sinful things that we had, all those evil desires of our heart, when we decided we were going to accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior, like the men and women's encounter, you took those things and you nailed them to the cross. You said, they're gone. I'm not dealing with them anymore. I'm not worrying about them anymore. I am giving up all those sins to you, Lord. I want to follow you. And so as Jesus preaches that message in John 6:66 through 69, here's what happened. It says, from that time, many of the disciples went back and walked no more with him. Then said Jesus unto the 12, will you also go away? Then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life, and we believe and are sure that thou art Christ, the Son of the living God. You know what, folks? There comes a time in life where you're going to have to figure out for yourself, who do you believe Jesus is? Who do you say he is? There's going to come a time in your life where you're either going to have to accept him or you're going to reject him. There's going to come a time in your life where you're going to have to deal with that question, am I going to have eternal life? Well, I can answer that for you. You will have eternal life, and it's only going to be one of two places. You can go to heaven, which we'll talk about in a little while, or you can go to hell. But you will have eternal life. You will live somewhere forever. And you know what? It's not Jesus who makes the decision. It's not your parents or your friends or your spouse. It's you. You make that decision. And so these people that turned away from Jesus as he was telling them that he was the bread of life, they're not much different than we are today. These people in John chapter 6. Some were younger, some were older. Some were rich, some were poor. Some were teachers, some were servants. I mean, there are a group of people that are just like us today. And you know, so we have the same needs that those people needed. We have physical needs, right? What are some physical needs we have? Food. Food, yeah. What else do we need as a human being? Water, yep, we need something to drink. And we need somewhere to stay warm, right? Or stay cool. These people, they needed those things. But you know, as people, Jesus provided their physical needs. He gave them the food. He gave them stuff to drink. He took care of them. And you know what? They still wanted more. Sometimes we're like that too, aren't we? We ask God for things, we thank him for things, and then all we do is ask him for more, more, more. We're like spoiled, rotten children sometimes, aren't we? I know I'm like that. You know, and so sometimes we get like that. And Jesus loves us. We're his children if we know him as our Lord and Savior. And so not only do these people have these physical needs provided to them, but now Jesus wants to give them spiritual needs. And you know what? Just like those people, we have spiritual needs too. And so today, that's kind of where I want to dive into for a little while, is we have three big spiritual needs I'm going to talk about today. One, the first thing is we need forgiveness of our sin. There's no way to get past that. If you don't have forgiveness for your sin, you really don't have much. Then I want to talk about the strength and guidance we need in our current life. If you say you're going to live for the Lord, you're going to live for Jesus, you're going to need some strength. You're going to need some guidance. You're going to need some courage. And then the third thing I want to talk about is we need hope for a future. You know, I've heard people come and say, I don't really know what my purpose is here. I don't really know even why we're here. I mean, we're just like a bunch of little hamsters. I mean, we live for a little while, we get fed, we run around in a maze, and we die. But that's not really what life is like. If that's all you have, you don't have much of a hope for the future. And so I want to share with you a hope for the future. So let's start by talking about forgiveness of sins. As each of us look over our past, there's probably things that we're proud of. There's probably things that we've done where we rejoice, where we're happy. Good achievements. Great things that we've done. But as we look at our life, there's probably some other things that we have done that we're not so proud of. There's probably some other things that we've done that may have hurt people, may have hurt our families, may have hurt ourselves. And so there may be some sin in our life today that we have that we need to deal with. Maybe a problem in our relationships. There may be a problem with ourselves, some kind of addiction, something we're struggling with, and we may need to deal with that today. You see, if we don't acknowledge those sins and we don't ask God for forgiveness of those sins, then what's going to happen is we're refusing to deal with it. And if we refuse to deal with it, then God doesn't hear. It says that sin separates us from God. You know, I get into arguments with my wife. Does anybody else do that? This is a dangerous situation, but yeah, we all do, right? I get into arguments with my wife, and I don't mind arguing and yelling and screaming all night long. I'm good for that. I love it. Kind of a challenge. It's like an interview process, you know? But what I don't like is when she's silent. I don't like is when she's quiet. I guess what I'm saying is I don't like that when we're separated. And you see, sin is kind of like that. When you have sin in your life, you're separated from God. As you're living for God, you're trying to overcome that sin. You're asking God for forgiveness. You may be talking to God a lot more than you'd usually talk to Him. You may be praying and asking God for help. You may be telling Him you're sorry about stuff. It may be dealing with things like that. But if you have sin in your life, there's a separation there. There's a silence there. And if you're anything like me, you don't like that silence. Because then, you know what I wonder? What is she planning next? Now, thankfully, the Lord doesn't think like Shannon. Amen. Praise God for that. But anyway, I've been dead a long time ago. But the good news is that sin that we have in our life, if we're willing to deal with it, we can overcome it. But we have to be willing to deal with it. The Bible says this in Isaiah 59, 1 and 2. It says, "Surely the arm of the Lord is not too short to save, nor is his ear too dull to hear. But your sin or your iniquities have separated you from your God. Your sins have hidden his face from you so that he will not hear." Somebody once told me that sin is like a great big rock tied around your neck, where you can carry it for a while, but sooner or later it's going to bring you to your knees. And really it should. You see, the only person that can cut that rope and get it off your neck is our Lord Jesus Christ. And the only way he does that is when you ask him for forgiveness of sin. Now in the scripture, he's sharing with these people here today. He's telling them, you want this manna from heaven like Moses gave them. But I tell you, my Father is the one who gave him them, not Moses. He said, I am the one that my Father sent. I am the bread of life. They said, well, give us that every day. He's like, no, you don't get it. I am the bread of life, me. And if you know me, you'll have eternal life. He's trying to teach these people how to be saved. Another scripture that we like to read comes from Romans 10, 9 and 10. It says, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. For it is by believing in your heart that you are made right with God, and it is by confessing with your mouth that you are saved. Sooner or later, again, we have to make that decision. We have to deal with that question is, who is Jesus? 2 Corinthians 6:2 says it like this. For God says, at just the right time I heard you. On the day of salvation I helped you. Indeed, the right time is now. Today is the day of salvation. If you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I wouldn't put it off another day. Make today the day of salvation. The second thing all human beings need is strength and guidance in our present life. Is anybody dealing with any problems in your life today? Yeah, life is difficult, isn't it? You have all kinds of things to deal with every day. It's kind of tough to live on the face of this earth. We have tough decisions to make. We have bills to pay. I mean, if you went out Black Friday shopping and charged up your credit card, well, you got those bills to pay. Some people may even have financial problems after Black Friday. I mean, there's bosses to make happy, temptations to resist. There's honey-do lists that never end. I mean, there is tough things that we deal with in this world today. And so many of us, we go to different sources to solve all these hard problems, don't we? We say, well, I got this difficult problem, and so I don't really know how it's going to end. So I'll tell you, maybe I'll go talk to the fortune teller or the psychic network. Maybe they can help me. Maybe I'll read the newspaper and the horoscopes, or maybe I'll call Delilah on the radio show. Maybe she can give me a hand. Some will consult their friends. Others will receive, you know, like those self-help books. But what Jesus says is, you got to come to me. I'm the source of wisdom. Why are you going everywhere else? Listen to what the Bible says in James 1 through 5. It says, if any of you lack wisdom, any of us, it says, let us ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and unbrighteth not, that it shall be given unto them. You know, Jesus knows our past. He knows our present. And he knows our future. And he still loves us. Isn't that amazing? I don't know if you ever really thought about that before. I've thought about that before. I'm like, you know, most people that don't like me anymore, it's because of something that I might have done or something I might have said. And I'm like, Jesus has plenty of reasons not to like me anymore. But no matter who I was, no matter who I am today or who I am in the future, he loves me for who I am. Nothing will ever come upon him that is unknown to him. I mean, he knows what's going to happen before it happens. And to think that out of everything that God created, the only thing he gave a plan for their life is human beings. So for someone to say, well, I don't know what I'm supposed to do with life. I'm not that important. I don't make that big of a difference. Yeah, you do. Jesus has a plan and a purpose for every single one of us. The question is, do you know what it is? The other question is, where are you looking to find it? Are you looking in the world to find God's plan and purpose for you? Well, you're not going to find it there. Not going to be satisfied there. Or are you looking to him? And the third and final thing we need is hope for our future. You know, Christmas is coming up. And as a kid, I used to look forward to Christmas. But you know what? I didn't look forward to it because of Jesus. I looked forward to it because that transformer I always wanted, now I had a good chance of getting it. I was hoping that soon, that little Optimus Prime guy, well, not so little, I mean, he's a pretty big guy, that he was going to be underneath the Christmas tree waiting for me. I had a hope. I was excited. I had something to look forward to. And as Christians, we have to have a hope. We have to have something exciting that we're looking forward to. You know what? You can have the worst day of the year, but if you have a vacation coming up, that worst day doesn't affect you. It could be the worst day in the world. You're like, doesn't matter. Next Friday, I'm out of here. I'm going on a cruise to Jamaica. I don't care what happens this week. It could be as horrible as it needs to be because next Friday, I'm going to Jamaica. What if we could have that same attitude about our relationship that we have as a Christian? What if we could have that same attitude that, you know what? It's going to rain on the just and the unjust. We're going to have problems here in the world. But guess what? Someday, I'm going to a place with no pain, no suffering, where I'm going to have a perfect body. I'm going to look better than I look right now, praise the Lord. And I'm going to be in heaven with my Lord and Savior. Amen. What if we could have that attitude? What if we could say, it doesn't matter what happened today. It doesn't matter what happened tomorrow. It doesn't matter what happened yesterday. I'm going to heaven someday. It's going to be awesome. Amen. What if we had that attitude? Talk about a vacation. That's an eternal vacation with no sin, no problems. I don't know about you, but I've taken quite a few vacations that haven't ended up to be too good. I might be with good company, but they're the vacations where you can't find the directions where you're going. Anybody have one of those vacations? You ask your wife or your husband or your kid, even with Google Maps, they can't figure out how to take you where you're going. You get lost. There was this one vacation. This is terrible. I should not be telling this. It's not in my sermon notes either, but whatever. There was this one vacation. I was trying to be a good husband. I was trying to be so romantic. And so I told my wife, I said, honey, we're going to Cincinnati, Ohio, because I have this trip. I have this consulting deal with Reynolds and Reynolds. I got to go take care of this. And I'd love for you to fly and come with me. And so we were traveling through Cincinnati, and then we were going on to Chicago. Our favorite team was the Chicago White Sox.
And so, for no reason whatsoever, I was going to take her with me to go watch a Chicago White Sox game. We're going to fly down, watch a White Sox game, go stay in this really fancy hotel just for married couples, and then we were going to come home. It was going to be awesome. Everything was scheduled. Everything was planned. Everything looked great. I grew up in Chicago, so I should know where I'm going, right? You'd think. But Chicago always has construction. And so we land, we get there, she's surprised, we go to the game, it's awesome, she has a wonderful time. We stay in this great hotel across from Grant Park, and Billy Joel comes in to the hotel and starts playing on their piano. I mean, this was not a planned concert, nothing like that. I mean, insane. It was an awesome day. Perfect day. Then the next day, we're getting ready to go to this retreat hotel for married couples. And so we get ready to go there, and we can't figure out how to get there. Well, this is the day before cell phones, so we didn't have Google Maps. We had real maps. Shannon's got this map, and I don't know if she thinks she's a Christopher Columbus or what's going on, but she's trying to read this map, and every time she tells me to turn, I'm a mile and a half past where I was supposed to turn. So we're all getting frustrated, and finally she says, I can't find my way. I don't know where it's going on. Well, give me this map. So I grab the map, and I'm driving. I'm like, yep, this map is garbage. This thing is worthless. So I throw a fit. I'm sharing all this. I tear it up, and I throw it out the window. And you know what happens? It blows right in the back seat, right in the back of the bar seat, which makes me even more mad. So now we're lost. We're arguing with each other. She wants me to stop and ask for directions, and I'm a man. We don't stop and ask for directions. You know what I mean? And so we're trying all this stuff. Shannon finds this shredded piece of the map, and she holds it up, and she goes, oh, look, honey, I think it's here. She looks at me. We go to the hotel, and this great marriage retreat, I'm thinking, oh, great, all is ruined now. It's all over. And she made it all better. But boy, it was a tough situation. I was hoping for such a great vacation, and we had that hang up, and I thought it ruined everything. And so often we hope for things like that. But the hope I'm telling you about today is a hope to go to heaven, a hope that has no sin, no bad things. It's a perfect place. No matter how good or bad you are, you can't mess it up. It's awesome. That's the hope that we have to have. And if the Lord doesn't tarry and he comes in our lifetime, you know what? We're all going to face this thing called death. We're all going to face it. We don't have a choice. It's something we're all going to have to deal with. And you may not want to hear this, but I'll tell you, every second that you're alive is a second you're closer to going somewhere for eternity. Now, you're the one who makes the decision. But I'll tell you, you could stay away from the church. You cannot read your Bible. You cannot be convicted by the Holy Spirit. You can reject Christ's gift of salvation. But there will come a time in your life where you're going to take a last breath and you're going to go to eternity somewhere. Wouldn't it be better to prepare for that eternal place today? I don't know about you, but I know Christ. He's the one who holds the future to the greatest place that ever existed. And John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. Folks, everlasting life can be amazing. Heaven is awesome. Or everlasting life can be terrible. When the Bible tells us about hell is that you're in an everlasting pit of fire with the gnashing of teeth. Ugh. But listen to what it tells us about heaven. Revelation 21, 1 through 4 says, now I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. Also there was no more sea. Then I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard with a loud voice from heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. God himself will be with them and be their God. And this is my favorite part. God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. You see, the hope you have as a Christian is heaven. And so for us to be walking around upset about what happened yesterday, about what happened today, we got to forget about that stuff. And we got to remember, who do you say Jesus is? Because if you know who Jesus is, if you've accepted him as your Lord and Savior, then your hope is for heaven. So yeah, you're going to have some rough days. But in the end of the day, you're going to be in the greatest place in the world with the Savior who created it all. What more could you want? On Wednesday, November 22nd, our friend and brother in Christ, Brother Glenn Klopp, had entered that place. He took his last breath at about 4:30 a.m. on Wednesday morning, and he moved on to what he'll know as eternal life. He believed in the Lord. He trusted in the Lord, and he accepted Jesus as his Lord and Savior. You know, Brother Glenn, he's no longer battling the sinful world that we're in. He's fought the fight. He's finished the race. And now he's in the arms of his Lord and Savior. That dementia he had, it's no longer affected him. Those cuts on his body, they're healed. His strength is restored. And he enjoyed his first Thanksgiving ever in everlasting life. I don't know about you, but that gives me excitement. I'm happy about that. And you know what else I'm happy about? That someday I'm going to be there with him. My question to you is, are you going to be there with him? Who do you say Jesus is? As I close this message today, I want to remind you, there's going to be a time in your life where you're going to have to make a decision to either accept Jesus or to reject him. The Bible says clearly in John 14:6 that every knee will bow, every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord. The problem with that is, by that time, if you don't already know him as your Lord and Savior, it's already too late. Jesus knows that human beings, we have physical needs. He knows we need food. We know we need water and shelter. That's why he provided it to all those people. But he also knows we have spiritual needs. We have a need to be forgiven, a need for strength and guidance in our life, and we need to have a hope in our future. See, lots of people want to help us, but the only person that really can help us is Jesus, because he's the one that created us. He's the only one that knows how we really work. So as you ask yourself that question today, who is Jesus to me? Jesus is telling us, put your trust in me. I'll forgive you for the past. I'll help and guide you through your life, and I'll give you hope for the future. No matter what problem you're facing, there is someone who cares, someone who wants to help you, someone who loves you even more than he loved his own life. And his name is Jesus. Let me remind you as we close. 2 Corinthians 6:2 says this. At just the right time, I heard you. On the day of salvation, I helped you. Indeed, the right time is now. Today is the day of salvation. Let us stand and bow our heads as we go to the Lord in prayer. Maybe you're here today and you're thinking, I want to have a hope for the future. And I haven't really even thought about it, Pastor. I want to know for, without a shadow of a doubt, that I'm going to heaven. Well, you know, there's only one way to know that for sure. And that's to have a relationship with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. If you don't know Jesus is your Lord and Savior, I encourage you just to make your way down here, to pray at the altars and just say, God, I want to go to heaven someday. I want to be with you. I want to see Brother Glenn. I want to see my grandparents. I want to see my family. Even more than all those things, though, I want to be in the arms of my Creator, the one who created me. You know, I can't imagine. I laid Lord in bed many times by myself thinking about what's heaven going to be like. I can't even imagine because I don't know what it's like to live in a world that doesn't have sin. And so what an amazing place this is going to be. God, I thank you for giving us Christians that hope. Lord, I pray that you would encourage us, God. If somebody's coming through a hard time today and they just want to come down and pray and say, God, I've been dealing with this hard time in my life. I've been trying to handle it all. And Lord, I realize today that I got to give it to you. You're the one who loves me more than anything. You're the only one that can help me. Lord, I'm a Christian. I know you. I accepted you as my Lord and Savior. Won't you help me with this problem? Maybe you want to come down and pray about something today. Maybe you're here today and you say, you know, there's going to be trials and tribulations in life. But you're right, Pastor. We're going to be in heaven someday. So I can handle that thing that's going on at work. I can take care of that little relationship problem that's going on. Because you know what, Jesus? I know that you're there for me, that you will never leave me or forsake me. God, that you love me. If there's any reason you need to come and pray, you're welcome to come and pray now.